Okay, hey, good morning to you all. Happy Easter. Just to let you know that children are going out, so energy people, energize, go. For the moment, why don't we just say hello to somebody you might not know or say Happy Easter to someone? Let's just do that for a moment. That just gives me a little bit of time to get ready. Hi, Gaby, how are you today? I'm okay, how are you? Oh, yes. Okay. Well, welcome. Good to see you all. Hey, Ken. Good to see you. All right. Let's put some, Mary, could you just put something? I got a friend. He's American Filipino, and he often emails me funny things. So not long ago, he emailed me these things. Now, they're believable or unbelievable. You tell me what, okay? You judge for yourselves. Here's the first one. Do you think that's real? I mean, not too fast. People are still thinking here. There you go. Is that real? Some of them are real. Some of them are not. Some of them are fake. Some of them are not. So you got to guess. So there's one. There's the first one. Real. Okay, who thinks real? Hands up. Oh, cynical lot. Okay, next one. What about that one? You got teenage drivers. Yeah, that's real. All right, next one, please. We have that one. Women drivers, right? No, sorry. Okay, quickly, Mary. Get me out of this. All right. Real or unreal? That looks pretty real to me, doesn't it? I don't know the answers, by the way. They were just given to me. No, carry on. Next one we're here. We have that one. That's pretty serious, isn't it? You're up in the air, and suddenly you see the engine. Okay. This guy is going at this direction. Okay. Hands up if you think that's real. Oh, some gullible people out there. Very good. Okay, next. What about that one? Hold up. Read. Yeah. Okay, and not yet. This is the last one. It's quite dramatic. I think this is the last one, Mary. Just switch it over. There you go. Is that real? Okay, can you see what's happening there? And that person's taking a photo. I don't know. Okay, well, there's some of the things where they're real or unreal. Some of them are. I'm not too sure about that one, but boy, oh boy, I don't want to be on that train right now, would you? But anyway, some of the things that my friend, every now and then, I've got another friend from, she's from Kuwait, and she sends the most silliest things. She showed us about birthday cakes, and the cakes look like palaces, you know, that are on stands and everything, but I've just got these friends who send these things. I don't know why, but real or unreal? Or what I want to speak today is to believe or not to believe. That is the question. That is the very question that we're asking ourselves. You know, we're singing these songs, and, you know, I know he's rescued my soul, and I believe. Some of you may not. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't believe, and I think it's a whole lot of rubbish. Trash and whatever. Is that garbage? You understand what I'm saying. If you can tell my accent that I'm from Australia, as most people think, but I'm not. I'm actually from England, but it confuses people because I look Chinese as well. And then when I say, actually, you know, I'm one of the pastors in the church, that really gets to them. I think, I don't get that at all. I said, nor do I. It's just the way God has his sense of humor with people. But anyway, I'm from England, so it's trash here. It's garbage here. Anyway, the thing I want to speak about, is it to believe or not to believe? That is the question. Or is it from Shakespeare, it's to be or not to be? Which play was that from, by the way? Of course it is. It's Hamlet. I knew that. That's what I want to look at. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to the Gospel of Luke? If you do not have your Bibles, do not worry. I have it for you. But it's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, the last chapter. And I've taken it from a version called The Message, a little bit more down to earth, I guess, a bit more real. And I shall read it. It says, at the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. And they were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down and worshipped. The men said, why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here. He's not here, but he is raised up. Remember how he told you that way back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on the cross, and then in 3 days rise up. Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news to all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the grave. He stooped and looked in and saw a few grave clothes, that's all. And he walked away, puzzled, shaking his head. Interesting, huh? Let's pray, shall we? Father, I just thank you that, Lord, what is written in the Bible is written, Lord, so real to us. It doesn't hide anything of people's struggles that the disciples had here, but had genuine doubts of what had happened. And Lord, we just thank you that the Bible is here to help us and to teach us many things. So we ask now, Holy Spirit, come upon us and reveal to us in a deep way truths that will change us. We ask that you'll be our teacher and our counselor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is an interesting piece of the Bible, an event that happens after the horrific crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. It was a Roman execution. And the Roman Empire, within their day, were very cruel, hard, barbaric bunch of people. And they wanted to create a way of executing criminals for what their sentence was worth. So the idea of a crucifixion was to try and prolong the death of a human being as much as possible, and also the extreme pains of death to experience that as well. So they thought of the cross. They thought of getting a human being and pinning nails through the ankles and the palms of your hand, all sorts of things, and lie there in the Middle East sun, which I believe me is hotter than this weekend. And to die there very slowly, but surely will die a very painful death. The events after that was this. There was the disciples, there was 11 of them, there was 12, but Judas, if you know about the story, Judas was one that betrayed him and so hanged himself. So there was only 11 left. And they were hiding. They were hiding away from the Romans. They didn't want to get caught. Nor the Jews, some of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the leaders of religious sects, as they might be caught and be tried and then themselves might be crucified. So they were a very scared bunch of people, and they were hiding. That's the kind of the context that's happening there. I want to pick up just one verse from that passage this morning regarding today. And that is in verse 11. It says, the apostles when the women came and said to them, hey, guess what? He's risen from the dead. The apostles said, didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it up. Or in another version of the Bible, it says this. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. They didn't believe. Now, I find this absolutely fascinating. It's intriguing to think that the apostles who were with Jesus for, I don't know how many years, 3.5 years or so, who saw many things. He went fishing with them. They went walking over miles, over mountains and valleys and hills and villages and towns. He was with them. The disciples were with Jesus all that time. They would have heard the amazing teaching that he had brought to many thousands of people. Those disciples would have been with Jesus when he shut the mouths of religious people who were trying to catch him out. And they were saying, well, where did this guy get this wisdom from? How can he speak with such authority? The disciples would have been with them with the miracles. They saw the blind see, the deaf hear. Even there's one of them called Peter. I love Peter because he's just a real man's man, and you know, he messes it up but doesn't give up at the same time. You know what I mean? Even Peter, Jesus asks Peter, Peter, I want to ask you a question. Give me an answer. He says, who do you think I am? After a couple of years being with him, thought about it, and he said, you are Christ, aren't you? The Son of the living God. Now, he said that. And Jesus said, look, no man has revealed that to you. It's God, my Father in heaven, that's revealed to you. And Peter says, yeah, I know. And you're Christ, you're Son of the living God. He was a very joyful man when he's worked that one out. And yet we find a couple of chapters later, they're saying, look, you're making it up. It's a load of nonsense. I don't believe you. I don't think it's got anything to women, because women make things up or anything like that at all. I'm talking about real thing here, okay? The thing is that they were with them all that time, and then they say, we don't believe you. Why? Why did they say that? They would experience joy. They want to go fishing with him all night. They followed him all the time. Why at this point, the peak, the greatest day in history, the disciples say, I don't know about this. I don't think so. Yeah, it's a load of rubbish. Why? I wanted to just help unpack some of this. Getting behind the thinking of these disciples. He's very scared. Bunch of guys up in this room hiding from everything. I want to suggest two reasons. I think the first reason is this. They were disappointed. They were, if you like, disillusioned with everything that's going on. They must have thought to themselves, surely this is not how it's supposed to end. I remember Jesus saying, they were thinking to themselves, he was going to rise up from the dead. He was going to pour out the Holy Spirit. He was going to build the temple, the physical temple, within 3 days. 3 days is almost up. What's going on? I don't get it. What's happening? It's not supposed to end like this. It's a fake. It's a fraud. It's a waste of time. Where is he now? I think they were locked inside, looking at one another, and they were doing what I call the crabology theology, which is one person trying to say, hey, we can do this. The other person brings them back down again and says, we can't do it. And they were breeding negative, cynical conversations with one another. I don't know what's happened to you. No, I don't know. He said he was going to do this. I know he did, and he didn't. What should we do? I don't know. Those years have been a complete waste of time. That's most probably what the disciples felt like. To say something like, you're making it up, as a whole load of nonsense, it's quite strong words. They must have thought, no, it's not for me. It's God didn't keep his side of the bargain. He said, here we are. Now, it hasn't happened. You know, we can feel like that sometimes, can't we? You know, the experience of church life. Perhaps you grew up in church. Perhaps you've had you were in a choir or whatever you used to do, and you grew up with church. But perhaps over the years you got disillusioned with it. You got disappointed with it. Perhaps you were let down by people. I know, having conversations in the last 2 weeks with people, three people said in the last 2 weeks, "Nah, I don't like the church. I think it's a bunch of hypocrites." Well, being polite to me as well. They just felt, "No, I really don't think. I don't think they got anything to offer at all." Gandhi, Prime Minister of India, he said this. He says, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians." He says, "Your Christians aren't like your Christ." It's interesting, isn't it, to say that. A survey that was done in the last couple of years, a survey called Lifeway Research, says this, that an age range of 20 to 29-year-old people, 67% of that age range say that the church is full of hypocrites. It's quite high, isn't it? Age range 30-plus year olds, 75% say the church got nothing to offer me. People, here's another survey. It says people who think church is just an organized religion rather than loving God and loving people, 77% from the age group of 20 to 29 say that's just what it is, nothing else. It's just organized religion. Well, 83%, as high as that, from the age of 30 and above. It's just, no, I'm disillusioned. I'm disappointed. They've let me down. All they do is judge me. All they do is tell me things, but they don't live what they say. That's how I see. That's my view of God. And yet, out of this research, Lifeway Research, if someone was to talk to me about their faith, about Christianity, and the name and the person of Jesus, 77% to 20 to 29 and 83% of those aged 30 and over. Isn't that amazing? Now, people could have that view. People have got that view. People have experienced something like this. And so what happens this, because no church is perfect, is it doesn't get dealt with and we just run away and that's it. And then hoping God, yeah, I don't know. Promises, you go numb. You start to go numb with it all. You feel let down. The other thing is this, I think, with the disciples. I think they were disillusioned. They were disappointed. It wasn't happening for them. The other thing is this, I think they felt very guilty that day. They felt guilty. Now, some of them were there that day when Jesus was crucified, and some weren't. Some were hiding. But they must have felt absolutely terrible of what was happening. Again, if I can pick on the apostle Peter, the disciple Peter, he was the one who said, "Hey, you're not going to go through that. You're not going to go through all that pain. I'm going to make sure I'm for you." He even says, "I will go to prison for you, Jesus, and I would even die with you," being very heroic. I'm going to be there for you. But we know it was a slave girl. He said, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be, aren't you the one of them, those people that follow Jesus?" And he said he went away crying and with pain and bitterness. He must have felt really bad, don't you think? To see what's going on. Every second of the event on that hill with Jesus dying on the cross must have felt, every second must have felt an hour going by. Just having to look, watch, and observe what's going on. They must have riddled with guilt. "Oh, I let him down. I've done it again." He must have felt pretty, pretty bad. I reckon the guilt must have been almost unbearable to carry. We've done that. Why didn't we help him? He's there now, hanging on the cross. What can we do? Many people carry a lot of guilt. Do you know that? Many people. Guilt is anger. Someone described it like this. Guilt is anger directed at ourselves. We put it upon ourselves. And guilt is one of the most strongest, if not the strongest, emotion that drives people to despair. I was talking to someone this week, and he just said, I don't know if God can forgive me for that. If you knew my past, if you really knew what I committed, I'm ashamed of it. I am absolutely riddled with guilt. And guilt is one of those things that kill you in the end. It destroys you. It was Judas, guilt-ridden Judas, that led him to his death. Every guilty person is his own hangman, someone said. Guilt is the thing that takes you to your death. I can't cope with what I've done. Where do I go with it? You know, in four walls, I don't know what to do. I think on that day, in that room, those bunch of those guys, they were disappointed, discouraged, but also they were full of guilt. I don't know where to go with this. And it's amazing, what I find most amazing, it's amazing when these guys had these two issues ingrained in their lives. It doesn't matter what you say or whatever you do, you're not going to change my mind. I am just completely blank on telling me about Jesus has risen from the dead. I'm not going to think anything different. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had many people, he healed, and they still went away. They still went away thinking, nah, I don't want to follow you. But thanks for mending my arm. But anyway, I'd rather do my own thing. I remember, I think I've told this story once before. We run an alpha course. An alpha course is introduction to the Christian faith. And we did one years ago. And we did what was called the Alpha Holy Spirit Day, where it's a day when I'd be empowered and filled with the Spirit. And I remember there was an old couple there. And we prayed for this guy named George. It's George and Audrey. So we prayed for George. George couldn't hardly walk coming into the building where we were meeting. And so we prayed for him. And George, who was in his 70s, was running around not just the inside of the building, which was an indoor cricket center. That's what you had in England, all cricket centers. But he was also running outside the sports center as well with his wife. And there was not a dry eye in the house. Everybody was thinking, look at that. And he's crying while he's running. And I'm thinking, how do you feel, George? This is amazing. I'm healed. God's healed me. I remember saying, hey, do you want to become a Christian? He said, no, thanks. I said, but thanks for healing me anyway. It's amazing, isn't it? God can give you everything. And yet most probably, I would imagine, there's things in his heart that he had bitterness towards. Perhaps it was guilt. Perhaps it was something he did. And he said, I could never forgive myself for that. I could not receive Christ. If only God knew what I had done. He couldn't. It's amazing. So there was these things. It's hard to, I think someone mentioned it this morning, that even Jesus, when he came to the disciples in that room, and Jesus came through a door, was locked, and he said peace to them, he also still had to go to Thomas, remember doubting Thomas, and say, hey, will you just put your finger where the marks are, right? It happened. Believe me. Stop doubting. Now, I would have believed you just come through those doors. That would have been enough for me. I mean, yeah, that's good. I like that. But Thomas is like, Oh, I don't believe you. You can do anything you like. I ain't going to believe you. So literally, Jesus says, look, just look, look, now feel it. Is that real? Oh, yeah, I get it. It's amazing how much of a strong emotion we can have would do anything but believe. And I think the disciples are thinking, no, 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 no. But there's a little glimmer of light, thank goodness, to what happened. We see Peter, it says this, Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes. And then, it says in another version, he went home and he marveled. He marveled on these things. He was kind of thinking, And I think he went, I bet it was a good evening for him. I think he went back on that Sunday thinking, I wonder if it is true. Because the body's not there. Duh. But I wonder he was going, I wonder if it is really true. I remember when he said, I remember those things. He said that he would be killed by sinful men, and he was. Although I wasn't there, I know he was. And then he did say that I rise up from the dead, and the tomb is empty. So perhaps that's true. I think for Peter, now you've got to remember, Peter, compared with most of the disciples, let Jesus down. But he had enough in him to say, I'm going to get up running again. And he was the one that most probably thought, guys, I think it's true. I think it really did happen. And as we know, that it did. I think he went back to investigate what was all going on. The curiosity got the better of him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why are you here? Why did you get up in the morning? It's a Sunday. Go to bed. Have a rest. It's a day of rest, right? Use that for a religious thing. It's a Sabbath. Sleep. Why did you get up this morning? Yeah, you got it. What is it that made you come to church? So come to Christ the King this morning and sit here and look at these guys who are all a bit off their rocker doing this stuff, party poppers, singing and dancing with a bunch of us in a school. It's not even a church building, for goodness sake. It's a school. What made you come this morning? Perhaps God called you here. Perhaps you needed to stoop down, come into the tomb and look in and ask yourself this question. I wonder if it's true. I wonder if all this religious stuff, all those kind of Sunday Bible lessons is true. Perhaps I should seek more about this. Perhaps God's called you to be here. Perhaps something's rekindling in you. There's something about this church that's a bit different. I know someone said that to me this week. Says, there's just something about you. It's kind of annoying, but good at the same time. Do you ever get those feelings? What? It's really irritating that you look so joyful. Stop it. What is it that you seem so real at the same time as like handling work, as being honest, as worshipping on a Sunday as well? What is it about you? Perhaps God's saying something to you. The same as it was for those disciples, particularly Peter. I think this might be true. It really did happen. When Jesus did show himself to Peter and the disciples, the guilt went away, discouragement. They weren't disillusioned anymore. they were totally and utterly convinced that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. Amen? We can see that because actually they were willing to give up their lives for him. And some of the stories is they did. Tradition goes that he was crucified but didn't feel worthy to be crucified how Jesus was crucified. So they crucified him upside down. They were totally convinced that Jesus did rise up from the dead. So they saw this. What they saw is that when they suddenly realized that Jesus had come from the grave, that the whole thing was the story was the beginning was the resurrection and the end is going to be a multitudes of people worshiping God. They saw the whole thing. And because of that, they gave their lives to it, their whole lives to it. And that is how the early church started. This power, this whole thing is that we today are rejoicing because it really happened. It really did happen. The redemption story is real, as it was for them, as it is for today. And it's good when you see the whole thing because you think you're not wasting your time. How is it going to end? One day, it says in the Bible, Christ will come back for his glorious bride, the church, and then all will bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So like it or not, you're going to do it. That's what the Bible says. But the whole thing was, I see it all now. I'm moving forward into God's purposes. I love it where you can see the whole thing. Don't you just love it when you watch a movie the second time, any movie, because you know what's going to happen at the end? Do you like that? I just watched Blindside. Anybody watch Blindside? Everybody say, I love Blindside. It's a lovely story. But when you watch it for the first time, if you don't know about Blindside, it's about an American guy, a homeless, traumatic guy, Michael Orr. And he makes it, he's in the All-American Football Player League thing, whatever you call it. In a soccer field, no, on a field, on a proper field. And so the whole story is that a woman and his family takes them in. But I mean, I'm gripped to it because you think, this guy, is he going to make it? Is he going to get the grades for college? Is he going to be socially accepted? How is the neighborhood that he come up? How is he going to respond? So I'm watching it thinking, God, you could do it. You can get a C+ to a B- and all that stuff. And I'm watching it. And we're just gripped by it. And then last Sunday afternoon, just time with the kids, we watched it again. And it's great because the kids haven't watched it and I have. And I was saying, I know what's going to happen. I know the end of the story. It's a good ending. Listen, we know the end. We know the ending to this. The beginning of the story is Christ is risen from the dead. The end of the story is this. There will be multitudes who will be saved and healed. Will there be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, but just forever and ever a multitude worshiping God. Amen? Isn't that good news? Thank you. Yes. Ephraim, you are funny. I'm going to get you, I tell you. It's good news. I come from a pagan background. I don't have much religious thing. I gave my life to Christ, May the 10th, 1987. I have not looked back. I have been healed. And all sorts of things. I can't keep going. There's loads of things. But God has done a wonderful work in me. I shared last week I was able to forgive my dad, who owed me a childhood. I could not have done that if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ. Because the power that was in Christ that raised him from the dead is the power that's now in me. Amen? Amen. This is the good news. God is about the kingdom of restoration. And that's what he does. He loves to do those things. This power raised Christ from the dead is now at work in us. It says in the Bible that we are raised with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. What a place to sit. Forever. We're in Christ. This power Jesus talks about, he says, if you pray and you believe, you can move this mountain. We sang it earlier. Wow. No one can't move mountains. But with this power, you can. With this power, the Apostle Paul says, my preaching, my words, my talking doesn't come with just nice words. It comes with demonstration of the Spirit's power. It's something that's different. This power changes lives, and it's now at work in us. The old has come and the new. So the old has gone and the new has come. That's what the Bible says. See, Christianity isn't all about doing your best. I hope I make it. I hope I can do good things and that would get me into heaven. Christianity isn't about reading your Bibles or going to church or just singing songs and feeling good about it. There's only one way to be a Christian, and that's this. You've got to die to yourself, turn from your old life, and put your faith in a person named Jesus. Christianity isn't what you can do for God. It's what God's done for you through Jesus. That's the difference. I said to someone the other day, I said, you'll do better by sailing across the Atlantic on a paper boat than trying to get to heaven by good works. It's what Christ has done. That's the good news. Let me introduce someone who's met Christ in a very real way and has changed his life. Tom, why don't you come up? This is Tom, and we're running an alpha course right now. And like I mentioned before, it just goes through topics like who is Jesus, why did he die, can God heal, how can I be sure of my faith, all those kind of things. And Tom's been attending. How long have you been in attending Christ the King now?
I think about a month.
About a month. Why did you decide to come to our church?
The fellowship and the love and the practicing what you guys preach, I've never felt it in any church body the way I do here before, ever.
Right. Thank you. What do you say about the Alpha course? How has that been helpful to you?
It's helped me to know God in a way that I'd never known him before and make him real to me as I can love him in my heart. I've never been able to love him like that before.
Would you feel that Jesus is kind of someone in your head more than your heart?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So you grew up a Christian? You grew up with church?
I grew up a Christian, and then I fell away. And as a teenager in my early 20s, I fell into a life of sexual immorality, violence, drugs. And he took that all away from me.
Yeah.
And he's healed me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Let me ask you one more question, Tom. What would you say to people here who don't know Jesus?
You got to know him. It's the best thing in the world.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. God bless you. The power of the resurrection is real. You might have questions. You might say, I don't know. You can't deny a story. Stories are truth. And that's it. That's what happened. This power can get hold of anyone. With my kids, I have arm wrestles. And I tend to let them win just. And they say, come on, Dad, let's do it. They're down there, and I'm literally half an inch off the table. And they're using their teeth. And then I suddenly go, zhong, bang. Listen, that's what God does with us. Sometimes you can argue to the back teeth. I don't want to believe. Then suddenly God says, bang, I have you in my kingdom. That's what power does. That's what God does in our lives. Let's stand, shall we? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, God. Let's just be in a mindful place right now. I just want to ask you all, personally, where do you stand before Jesus Christ today? You might have questions, and you might say, "Nope, I don't believe. I've got big questions." You might say, "You know what? I'm going to jump in with both feet by faith." The Bible says this. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. What I'd like to do is that I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I would like you to follow my lead and repeat what I say after every line. And it's called, they call it the sinner's prayer. Call it what you will, but we're going to pray for Jesus to come into our lives. Just repeat after me every line that I say together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. I realize that I'm a sinner and I've done things on my own, been very selfish towards other people. I realize that you, Jesus, took all my sin upon yourself and crucified it on the cross. I ask that you forgive me for my sin. I want to say that I'm sorry, going my own way in my life without you. I want to turn around from my old life. And now I put my faith and trust in you. I want you to come into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. And I will follow you the rest of my days. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we just pick up, you should have a connect card that is on the chair. Just pick that up, would you please? Hopefully you've got a pen. Just pick that up for a moment. Now, just at first glance at the card, you'll find a series of things. Some of the invitations there to various things. Key thing is this on this card. If you felt you said that prayer, and you said that prayer with faith, and you meant that in a genuine way, and you felt that actually I just rededicated my life today, then I would love you to check that box. Perhaps for the first time you put faith in Christ, then check that one. I've become a Christian this morning. There's an Alpha course there. We're running an AFCourse right now. Right now. Perhaps you're not convinced. I need to know more. No one's going to pull wool over my eyes. Then my wife and I, we run an Alpha course. Check that box and we get details to you. Just give it a thought for a moment. What do I stand before Christ? What did I really mean? I've got questions. Then fill in that box as well. Perhaps you want to get baptized. You're saying, actually, I'm from another church and I need to talk back to my pastor, my other church, I need to get baptized. Or check that box too, whatever it may be. We're just going to finish in prayer. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for good news. And thank you that, Lord, good news spreads. Thank you that one would tell another of what you've done. Father, I thank you that we don't need to fear death anymore. That, Lord, this present life, which is very, very quick here, will be one day with you for eternity. Lord, I want to thank you for healing. I want to thank you for changing our lives. I want to thank you for bringing joy. I want to thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go to the grave with bitterness or forgiveness or regrets. I thank you, Lord, you're the God that heals. You're the God that restores. Lord, we love you and we praise your name. We're excited about this day because it is the greatest day in history. You've done a fantastic work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for the joy set before you is that the multitude will come in and praise you forever. Thank you. We know the end of the story and it's a great ending. Amen. Amen. Well, we're not going to go yet because we're going to celebrate because it's good news. So we're going to sing, Oh Happy Day. Amen. And if you've got any poppers left, Ephraim, do you want another one? We're going to celebrate. We're going to sing one more song, but please don't feel you have to rush off at all.
Oh, Amen. All right, please don't feel you have to rush off at all. We have refreshments across the hall, so just hang about for that. God bless you. And if you want any prayer, anything like that, want to know more about Jesus, then I'd be just hanging around at the front for a while. So please come for prayer. Okay, God bless you, and have a great Easter.